Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time once again for the Retro Show from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. You can call me Bad, and I'm the podcast producer at BTSC. Alongside me is Tony DeFeo, BTSC Hall of Famer, fantastic writer for the site. Tony, so glad to have you with me once again. And this time, we've got gold on the line, championship gold, Tony.
I feel great to be here. And that was such a fantastic introduction. I don't know what else to say, but I'm looking forward to going back a decade or so and talking about one of my favorite Steelers years, truly one of my favorite Steelers years of all time.
2010 it was, and this was the year at this time Bruno Mars was, man, he was huge on the charts. And Grenade was the number one single in America. If you turn on the radio, you heard Grenade and No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman was number one at the box office. But Tony, did that stuff really matter in the Steel City? I gotta say no. And the reason I gotta say no is the Steelers were on their way to another AFC championship game after winning the last two that they were in. Could this be three in a row and three appearances for the Steelers in 5 years?
A challenging year for the Steelers in 2010, but they overcame a lot to get to this point. And having a home game once again, and they seemed like they always got home games, even when they were a number two seed like they were this year, taking on a Cinderella Jets team. I think they're going to have a pretty good night.
So the week before, the Jets knocked off the New England Patriots in Foxborough to let the Steelers avoid a Steelers-Patriots game and also giving the Steelers a home game in the playoffs. So for this AFC championship game, once again, Mike Tomlin's team was at home at Heinz Field looking to take on Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez, and the upstart Jets, a team that beat them maybe 6 weeks earlier in December at Heinz Field in overtime. So this is a game that is very important to the Steelers, and the Terrible Towels were going crazy, led by Pittsburgh's own Billy Gardell, leading the Terrible Towel twirl at the beginning of the game, Tony.
Yeah, it was a magical night. It was a really intense and emotional night, and I forgot how cold it was for this game. It was like 13 degrees at kickoff or something like that. It was colder than I remembered, even though it wasn't that long ago. I thought it was a little bit warmer, but But no, it was a really bitter night.
So here we go. Let's get this game started and see if the Steelers are going to be on their way to the Super Bowl or not. The Jets won the kickoff, but deferred to the second half and a little bit of strategy. Then Antonio Brown fielded the opening kick. He was a rookie that year, and he gave the Steelers really good field position at the 34-yard line. Antonio Brown had really come along in the late stages of the year and the playoffs, and he was looking really good, Tony.
He was. He came through a week earlier with that big helmet catch on 3rd and 19 against the Ravens, that big come-from-behind victory over the Ravens in the divisional round. So, yeah, he was one dog going for two bones, or however Mike Tomlin said that saying, Manny Sanders. But by the end of the year, he was proving to be a clutch rookie receiver.
And this was also a wide receiver class that included such stalwarts as Hines Ward, Mike Wallace. You mentioned Emmanuel Sanders, and a guy that came back that season who was fielding punts, and also a big possession wide receiver for the Steelers, none other than number 82, Antoine Randall L. So a really potent set of weapons for Ben Roethlisberger in this game. But as far as running backs go, Rashard Mendenhall was the workhorse, and he was once again that very same ball carrier on the opening drive that took care of business for the Steelers. He carried the ball 8 times for 28 yards on that opening series. 2 passes to the aforementioned Hines Ward, another completion to Mike Wallace, and a 6-yard run by Isaac Redman, followed by a 12-yard Ben scrambled, got the home team black and gold down to the doorstep of the end zone. This drive also featured Antonio Cromartie in an illegal hit to the face on Emmanuel Sanders, and nervous moments when Ben took a helmet to the thigh and started limping. So at this point, Tony, the Steelers are driving, but it's scary as well.
It was a good drive up to this point. Seeing Ben limp around, that was cause for concern.
This drive also featured a long pass to Heath Miller, who was challenged by the Jets. It was really good to challenge this pass because the use of the red flag really helped Rex Ryan at this point as the 21-yard gain was negated. Another thing happened early in this game, which was terrible for the Steelers, especially in the weeks to come. Marquise Pouncey got rolled under by Brian Thomas on a Ward play to the 1-yard line. Doug Ligurski had to come in to sub for the rookie from Florida, and there was no more Marquise Pouncey. And even though he was a rookie that year, he was one of the main reasons that Rashard Mendenhall and Isaac Redman got a lot of running room and Ben Roethlisberger got a lot of protection, Tony DeFeo.
Absolutely. The previous 2 years, the line really struggled to keep Ben clean and to generate any kind of a running game. Pouncey came in and he was immediate upgrade. He was the best player on the line. He was an inspirational leader already as a rookie. He was a hard-nosed, tough leader, and to lose him this early in the game, that was a tough blow.
So the Steelers were on the doorstep, like I said. Then comes a handoff to Rashard Mendenhall, number 34, into the end zone with 9:06 remaining in the first. The Steelers capped off a 15-play, 66-yard drive to give Mike Tomlin's team a 7-0 lead. The terrible towels were twirling feverishly in Pittsburgh, Tony.
They sure were. And what a great drive to start such an important game. And you have the Jets coming in after a huge emotional victory over the Patriots the week before. They're the Cinderellas. They're feeling good about themselves. And Pittsburgh, and they just beat the Steelers 6 weeks earlier, as you mentioned. But Pittsburgh took the opening kickoff and just said, look, this is going to be our night. We're going to take control of this game early. And that's exactly what they did on this drive.
Now, that very game the week before, that emotional game that you mentioned, playing the New England Patriots, and we talked about that earlier, it spurned a great catchphrase that is used today by BTSC Scobro show co-host Rich Schofield, Bart Scott, when talking about playing the Steelers next week. Can't wait! And that's
Can't
where
wait.
That came from. Yep. And, you know, Bart Scott was a longtime Steeler nemesis because he was on the Ravens team that they played in plenty in that AFC championship game 2 years earlier, and in all those years as he was a Raven. So this was very special to be playing on this field for Bart Scott, and the Jets felt that way. And they came out flat to start the game, but this Jets team was very dangerous, and we're going to find out a little bit more about it, especially with Mark Sanchez, the rookie, way before the butt fumble, Tony. But Mark Sanchez had a great rookie year, number 6 out of USC, and he comes out throwing, but Casey Hampton knocks the ball down right away. Then James Harrison stopped LaDainian Tomlinson for a loss. Yes, LaDainian Tomlinson was on this team as well. They had some firepower. But Sanchez completed a pass to Jericho Cotchery, a future Steeler, to move the chains, and the Steelers secondary got nailed for holds on consecutive penalties by Ryan Clark and Ike Taylor. The suffocating Steelers D would, though, tighten down and force the Jets to bring out Drew Weatherford to punt. When the Steelers got possession again, the team would get moving to start the drive by riding Rashard Mendenhall again with runs of 11 yards, 2 yards, and a screen from Ben for a gain of 18 as the first quarter ended. Now, Tony, a lot of people remember Rashard Mendenhall for a lot of things. Some of it's negative because of Twitter comments after the death of Osama bin Laden. They remember some crucial fumbles, but this guy in 2010 was one of the best things going in the National Football League at running back, and he was a scorer galore for the Steelers. He carried the torch for this team.
He certainly did. I mean, you know, people, like as you said, they're going to remember that Super Bowl 45 fumble. They're going to remember the fact, you know, the Twitter stuff and the fact that he was deactivated for a game and he failed to show up to Heinz Field, that kind of thing. This was his year, 2010. He was arguably the team MVP that year. Ben was out the first 4 weeks. He was suspended. And if you remember that first, that week one went against the Falcons in overtime, he had the game winning touchdown, the 50-yard touchdown in overtime. He really played a crucial role for them, not only during a regular season, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, but in the playoffs as well, helping the Steelers make it go on a deep run.
In quarter two, Ben went to the air and the Steelers moved the chains once again, this time via an unnecessary roughness on Eric Smith and a hit on a defenseless Emmanuel Sanders. The Steelers had the ball on the Jets 44 and were looking for more, but the drive stopped when Ben's pass to Mendenhall on 4th and 1 deflected off of the running back's mitts and into those of Brian Thomas. Sanchez and the Jets couldn't capitalize, though, on the great field position and had to punt. But Weatherford shanked it, and the Steelers had the ball again after the punt only sailed 29 yards at their own 38-yard line. So great field position. Could the Steelers capitalize on it? We will see. Ben Roethlisberger went for it all right away on the first play of the Steelers' third possession, but Darrell Revis had good coverage on Mike Wallace. Revis was involved on the next play too, deep downfield, but it was on a tackle on Mendenhall, who reeled off a 35-yarder on 2nd down. Then Isaac Redman got into the mix the next 2 carries, and then he cruised for a total of 21 yards. But with a 3rd down on the 2-yard line, Ben's pass to Sanders was deflected by Eric Smith. It may have been a good thing, though. Revis looked to be in great position to make a play on the ball. Instead, here comes Sean Sweezum in for the field goal attempt, and the Steelers are leading 10-0 with 6:54 remaining in the AFC Championship game's first half. Tony, a lot of action, a lot of opportunities for the Steelers, a lot of mistakes averted. It could have been disastrous many a time for Pittsburgh, but they're now leading 10-0, and it's close to halftime.
Yeah, they were in total control of this game. And as you said, a couple inches here and there, like on the Darrell Revis breakup on the deep pass to Mike Wallace, it could have been 14-0. But, you know, at this point in the game, late in the first half, you'll take a 10-0 lead at home against a very good and very tough Jets team.
Next came a 3-and-out by the Jets, forced by 2 stops and a tip by Brett Kiesel. The beard was all over the place on this series. The Steelers would also take advantage because of that. As the temperature dropped to 8 degrees, the Steelers heated up once again on offense. Ben completed long throws of 24 to Heath Miller and 20 to Manny Sanders. After a 15-yard pass to Mendenhall got his team down to the one-yard line once again, Roethlisberger took it in himself for a touchdown on the bootleg. At the two-minute warning, it was the Steelers 17 and the Jets zip. It would get worse for the Jets, though, Tony. Lamar Woodley sacked Sanchez for a 7-yard loss on first down. And on third down, Ike Taylor and William Gay came up with the big play. The result of Taylor's sack was a fumble picked up by number 22 Gay, and he took it all the way for the score. The review process made it seem, though, that the play would be called back, but it stood, and Heinz Field went crazy with the Steelers scoring twice in 37 seconds. With 1:23 left before intermission, the Steelers led 24-0.
What a sequence of events. You had the Ben touchdown, and then just seconds later, practically, Ike's big hit and Willie Gay's touchdown to make it 24-0. And I tell you what, I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time, and like, she had to settle me down. She was like, just, you need to settle down. And then she started taking pictures of me and putting them on the internet. So I was certainly enjoying it myself, and I didn't care who was watching. I couldn't believe they were up 24-0 in the AFC Championship game. It was a dream come true.
Man, I got to find that girl just to get the pictures, Tony.
Seriously. Actually, you know what? They weren't pictures. Now that I think of it, they were video. She was videotaping me. Either way, it was embarrassing, but I don't care. It was all my inhibitions were gone at that point. I couldn't believe it. This is the AFC Championship game. You know, you let your hair down, right?
So it's 24-0, Tony, and the Jets are desperate to get some points, but they did have some pride and fight left in them. With not a lot of time, they had to do something. So Sanchez threw completions of 5 and 9 to tight end Dustin Keller, and a 16-yard pass followed by a 9 to Brad Smith, the former quarterback from the University of Missouri. With a 2nd and 1 at the 25, 2 Sanchez passes to Braylon Edwards, and Santonio Holmes, we know that guy, fell incomplete, courtesy of coverage by Ike Taylor and Brian McFadden. Here comes Nick Folk emerging, and he hits a 42-yarder to make the score 24-3 right before the half. At halftime, Tony, the numbers on the scoreboard were made sense by the stat sheet. The Steelers had 135 yards to 1 for the Jets, while the home team had 231 total yards versus 50 for New York. Time of possession for the Steelers was 21:04 and 8:56 for New York. The second half would look quite different, and that's something we're going to talk about when we come back after the break on the Steelers Retro Show. Welcome back to the Steelers Retro Show. My name is Brian Anthony Davis from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Alongside me is my great friend Tony DeFio, and we love hopping in that black and gold DeLorean and going back in time to check out some great Steeler games from yesteryear. Tony, this was the last really great AFC Championship game for the Steelers, and I'm so glad to look back on this one.
Absolutely was the last great one. It was, and I said it in the first half, it was one of my favorite years. I mean, anytime they go to the Super Bowl, it's great. But yeah, it was one of my favorite years. And what a first half by them! I mean, they totally dominated every which way, as you mentioned at the end of the first half of the show. But that field goal by the Jets at the end, I think that was a momentum shift.
It really was, because in quarter number 3, the Jets would storm out of the gate. Something happened in that locker room, and they were not ready to give up. After runs by LaDainian Tomlinson, Sanchez would hook up with the ghost of Steelers playoff pass, Santonio Holmes, for 16 and then 45 with Ryan Clark trailing. With 12:22 left in the third, the Jets were making strides to get back into the game by a score of 24-10. The Steelers tried to answer, but it looked like a 3-and-out was negated when Jamal Westerman got nailed for a really sketchy roughing penalty for running into punter Jeremy Kapanos. Tony, I've got to say, I did not think this was a roughing penalty, and I thought the Steelers got a great gift here.
I think it should have been just a 5-yard penalty for running into the kicker, not a 15-yard personal foul. But hey, you know, the pass to Heath Miller early in the game, that probably should have been held up, but I guess it all evens out in the end.
We try not to be homers here, and we'll say when the Steelers are a benefit of a play that really should have went the other way. We're not one that says, we can justify that. No, I mean, this is one that we really can't justify, but I get it. You know, the Miller play was a bad call as well. So maybe it was a makeup play later, but the Jets really needed that. After a Mwodi Moore first down, Ben started to unravel, though. First, missing Pouncey, a bad exchange between number 7 and center Doug Ligurski, well, nearly ended up into the Jets' hands. But on the next play, Ben went deep for Emmanuel Sanders, and he was intercepted by Brodney Poole, giving the ball back to the Jets. A 3-and-out by the Gothamites. And I don't mean the Rogues, Tony, not from the Batman movie. I'm talking about the New York team. Gave the ball back to the Men of Steel. My gosh, I just covered Batman and Superman in the same sentence. DC owes us some money, Tony.
They sure do. And that was a great way to sum it all up. It was a weird sequence of events, but the superheroes were still in charge, 24-10.
Ben would rush for first downs twice when facing a third down, but he couldn't avoid sacks on the series as Calvin Pace and Trevor Price both took down the Steelers QB to bring on Capinos again to punt as the third quarter was coming to a close. As the fourth quarter began, Rex Ryan's team was hell-bent on making things interesting, and they did. But they needed to be mindful of the clock. Sanchez went over the middle to Keller for 19 to commence the series, and then to Cotchery and back to Keller to get to the Pittsburgh side of the field. At the Steelers 27, the Jets stayed on the ground for 6 straight plays, including a fourth down conversion by Sean Green, who gained 22 yards on this particular possession. When a pass play to Cotchery got the green and white down to the 2, the Steelers defense tightened up, defense by Ferrier, Clark, and a near interception by Woodley set up a fourth and goal at the 1 yard line, Tony. Things are getting nervous at Heinz Field, my man.
After holding him on those first 3 plays, to let up a touchdown here would have been pretty devastating. So I can't wait to see what happens.
Sanchez handed off to Tomlinson, but was met by Brett Kiesel and Casey Hampton for the goal line stand. The Jets would get nothing after, get this, a 17-play and 8-minute, 16-second drive. At 24-10 with the ball and 7:44 remaining, New York seemed to be running out of jet fuel. There's another one, man. I'm sorry for that joke.
It's okay. It's pretty apt. And you're right. For the Jets to run off so much time and a 17-play drive and to get so close and to come away with nothing halfway through the fourth quarter, they had to be feeling pretty bad about themselves. I know watching the game at that time, it's actually recent enough that I remember, I was feeling pretty darn good and thinking it was pretty much in the bag at this point.
Yeah, but Tony, the one thing that I was worried about here was the absence of rookie Marquise Pouncey, who was great all season long for this team. Usually a rookie doesn't affect the chances of a team, but his absence was completely glaring, and it almost cost the Steelers a shot at the Super Bowl as something happened here because of his absence. A too aggressive of a snap from Ligurski to Ben bounced off of number 7's hands. That could have ended up a Jets touchdown here, and it would have been trouble. But Ben was able to jump on the ball for the safety. The 2 points from the safety were awarded to the Jets. The score was now 24-12, and some in Steelers Nation, like me at home, is really getting nervous. How about you, Tony? Sweating?
Oh, absolutely. This is when the girlfriend was still taking pictures and videos. And the furthest thing from my mind after that great goal line stand was the center exchange. The center snap exchange between Ligurski and Ben, but I should have been thinking of that because it Pouncey out. That could have been crucial, and it certainly was on this play. And not only did they get 2 points, but they were going to get the ball back again too.
Sanchez immediately went to work with a 22-yard pass to Braylon Edwards and another for a gain of 10. 3 passes to Keller for a total of 18 yards had the Jets 6 yards away from pay dirt. After Tomlinson got the ball down to the 2-yard line, Sanchez found Cotchery for a 4-yard touchdown, and the Jets were only down by 5 by a score of 24-19 after Nick Folk got the point after true. Scoreless in the second half, the Steelers could not afford to give the momentous visitors the ball back. With 2:56 remaining and all 3 timeouts, the host needed a few first downs to slam the door shut. After a Mendenhall run of only 1 yard, Big Ben completed a first down to Heath for 14 yards as the Jets used all of their timeouts. Tony, timeouts are so crucial here, and the Jets didn't have any more.
No, and all it would take would be one more first down, and the game was over, and it would be on to Dallas. So, yeah, for the Jets to use up all their timeouts was big, and now it was up to the Steelers to put the game away.
The Jets still had a chance with the Steelers facing a 3rd and 6 at the New York 40 right after the two-minute warning. Ben was flushed out of the pocket. He rolled right and threw to rookie Antonio Brown, who came up big again, Tony, for 14 yards and a trip to Arlington, Texas, and the franchise's 8th Super Bowl appearance. We were going crazy here at Steelers Central. It would not end the way anybody wanted it to. We know that, but it does not diminish how special this win was. What a fantastic game, Tony. It became a nail biter. It made things really nervous as Pouncey was out. The Jets had a chance to come back in this game. It was not the runaway that we thought it was going to be, but it was fulfilling.
It sure was. And I still can feel like, remember how I felt, Antonio, who nobody would at the time knew would go on to be arguably one of the greatest receivers of all time. Well, actually, he was one of the greatest receivers of all time. He's still playing. But when he caught that ball and you knew that it was over and they were going to the Super Bowl, it's something that Joe Green said at one time, that precise moment when you know that the next game's the Super Bowl, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's how it felt for me as a fan at that moment. It was just, it was a fantastic finish to a challenging year and just what great memories for me.
I was not in the position at the time to go to the Super Bowl. My friends were going, invited me to Dallas to see if I could find a ticket. They had tickets to the game. They had a hotel room. I had a young family and I could not get off with my job. So I stayed home and watched the Super Bowl. But I have to say this, that Super Bowl does not matter at this point when we're talking about this Steelers-Jets game. It was one great game that I will never forget. It doesn't matter how it turned out. Yeah, sure, would have loved to have had the win, loved to, you know, get some of those plays back, but you cannot diminish how great this game was. Ben was only 10 for 19 for 133 yards and 2 interceptions, but he had that rushing TD. Rashard Mendenhall really carried the mail. 27 for 121 and a touchdown. Heath Miller had 2 catches for 38 yards to lead the team. And Lawrence Timmons, 10 tackles, Tony. He was a stalwart on defense for this team as well. I've got to tell you, Mike Tomlin had a chance to be the youngest coach to win 2 Super Bowls. It didn't happen as they lost once again the next week, actually 2 weeks later, to the Green Bay Packers. But Tony, final thoughts on this game. What was your girlfriend posting when you were celebrating this win?
Well, after Antonio Brown caught that ball and I knew it was done, she was like, don't say that. Cause I screamed, "You're going to the Super Bowl," you know? And she said, "Don't say that. You're going to jinx it." But I don't think she understood the victory formation. but yeah, it was a night I'll never forget. And it was something I didn't see coming, quite frankly, simply because of all the turmoil surrounding the team at the beginning of the year in that offseason with everything that went on with Ben Roethlisberger and then him being suspended. Usually when something like that happens to a team at the beginning of a year, it's hard to come back from that. But they held strong and they got off to a 3-1 start, and they kind of once Ben came back, it was on. Troy Polamalu was the defensive player of the year, so their defense was still really good. You mentioned Timmons. Woodley had a great year. Obviously, Harrison was Harrison. You know, it was just a great all-around team. And for all the adversity that they faced that year, for them to make it to the Super Bowl, I think that was one of Mike Tomlin's, obviously, one of his greatest coaching jobs.
It absolutely was, Tony. And I love talking about this game. And I love talking about them all with you. So thanks again for talking about this game with me, Tony. The Jets, the Steelers, going to the Super Bowl for the 8th time, ultimately losing. We get that. But once again, you don't get a better game than the Steelers winning at Heinz Field. I can't wait till we can talk about another AFC championship game, my friend.
Me either. They're golden whenever they do come around. So I can't wait for the next one.
All right. For Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. This was the Steelers Retro Show, and this was a dandy. For Tony, I'm Brian. You need to do 3 things for us. Stay safe. Always be true to yourself and be behind the steel curtain. And you could take us away. We don't mind, but you better promise us we'll be back in
time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.